So, I'm bringing back a title that's going to remind everybody of milk. Everybody's used to the Got Milk. I'm bringing back Got Faith. I know I'm speaking to many people here who've been Christians for a very long time. But we all need to continually ask ourselves this question. Are we truly walking with faith? How strong is it? Can we say we have faith? The passages I'm about to read are a couple that can be very controversial and have caused quite a few arguments on the theology side. But we need to look past the arguments of the past. We need to truly examine it for what God intended it for us, how it applies to each and every one of us. It has a meaning then and the same meaning today, but we have to apply it for what it is. In these two passages, there's grand miracles worked. We're going to go through one where we have somebody who's healed, somebody who's been lame for 8 years. Acts 9, verse 32, the healing of Aeneas. Now as Peter went here, and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived there Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. And then we have the second one. Dorcas restored to life. Verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. If we want to get it a little closer to something we'd understand today, it'd be Gazelle. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside, knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Some of the most controversial historic stories, whenever you start to talk about the Bible, don't just say story, because anyone who doesn't believe will link story to basically fairy tales. Add the word historic so they know you truly believe it's the truth. It's not just some fairy tale you want to believe in. This is a book of history. Which always amuses me because in the English language, you can take history and basically say, we're talking about his story. The Bible is historic and it's the story of God. It's his living words so we understand how to use them. How to move forward, how to live our life. And our lives, they're filled with many hardships, many burdens. Just because we have his word here doesn't mean it's going to be easy on us. There's going to be times when we're at the top of that hill where everything seems green, the sun is shining, and there's times when we're going to feel like we're in that valley, where the storm clouds never seem to make it over the mountain, lightning all around us, the water's rising, and we we start feeling nervous, we start feeling on edge, start wondering how we're going to make it through it. In those moments when it feels like that water is about to rise over our heads, stop and ask, do we have any faith? We all have those times because none of us are perfect. And in those times, it's very easy when we're reading the Bible about these people who were paralyzed. And then a single prayer was said, and they stand up. Even worse yet, when we're reading one where it's saying she was dead, and with a single prayer, she rose. Countless times as a Christian, you're going to be asked, well, if that book is truly history, it's truly fact, then why can't we see those types of miracles today? Why aren't we going around just saying, through the hospitals, why do we need a hospital anymore? Why can't we just go in praying, they get up and walk away? Why is that? Do we have faith in God? Or is it when we try and say that we need those same miracles today, we want to prove it, we want to bring everybody to God, is it really just our way of saying, we just want this? We're not asking if this is what God intended. We're not asking if God wants this person healed at this time to bring others. We're saying, this is really what we want. This is our own desire. God needs to do it. That's what prayer is. No, that's not what prayer is. If we truly have faith, when we're praying to God, it's not merely praying for what we want. We need to think about our words. Because if we're praying to God for only our desires, then we're not praying in faith. If we're trying to pray and it's only for our desires, our wants, and you have to ask yourself when you're praying, are you really praying for a need? Or is it truly just something you want? Because if we are, if we're praying just because we want something, we desire something, we feel this is what God needs to do, then we truly have faith at that point that God is the all-powerful, almighty, who we're going to follow everywhere. Is our faith that, or is our faith more along the lines of God's going to serve me in every desire I want? He's all-powerful, but he's going to bend before my will. In those moments when we're going, why won't God answer this prayer? Are we asking for our eyes to be revealed to his will, or are we still truly praying that God needs to bend down before us? Everyone says, well, if God would just work one miracle, one grand miracle like it shows in the Bible today, then I'd believe. Well, if God did work that one miracle, would it end there? Would we even make it a full generation before somebody else was saying, no, that was fake? Since you went outside that room, in fact, people in that room would still probably be trying to say how it was fake, how it was created, how it was just a lie. Would these same miracles be able to cause people to come to them today? And the argument you get back is, well, we'd have it documented. We could have it recorded on camera. We'd have the doctors there with the proof. To which, in the world's eye, they'd go, well, the doctors could all be bribed, and we've all seen how good those movies are. Everything can be fake with a little bit of computer graphics. And we have a cell phone that can make it look like a little kid is shooting a beam out of their hands from just their phone. Then why should we believe anything we see on the TV? Because they can take anything. They have a lot more money, a lot more computer power than what I carry in my pocket, right? And everybody would talk themselves right out of it. They go, but we need to see it. We need to have something. Go, if it was recorded, I'd be able to believe that. And eventually you always hit that point in the conversation. Well, if it was truly recorded, I could believe that. At which point, just hand them the Bible and go, here you go, here's a whole book of miracles being worked throughout history. You said if you could read it, you'd believe it. There it is. But the fact is, throughout that entire argument, it was never really about the faith. The person that's questioning you saying, if I could just have this miracle, I would believe, never had any desire to believe. If they did, it would go beyond just pray so I can see this miracle. The conversations like that, one of the illustrations I've heard is it turns God into a genie. I need this. Pray, 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 pray. Oh, the bills come due. Pray, 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 pray. I got a call. Pray, 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 pray. Well, I have a car that works, but I really wanted a sport car. Pray, 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 pray. Poof. That's not how God works. He's not a mystical genie. We don't pray and there it arises. Does he have the power for that? Yeah. But remember, all powerful means he doesn't bow before us. We're to bow before him. Throughout the book of Acts, it's talked about leading a Christian life. It's talked about being a servant to God. Even in these examples, if we skip over the miracle parts, we look at Dorcas here. This was a person who was living as a servant. We're called to take care of the widows. Here was a lady that was making tunics for him. Everybody who gathered here said, look what she gave me because I had nothing. They weren't praying just because they wanted more. They weren't praying to fix something in their lives. They're praying because they wanted to know if that's truly what God's will was. Yes, were people saved because of that miracle? Absolutely. Might those same people have been saved without that miracle? Absolutely. The miracles aren't what are to bring us to God. A miracle in somebody's life isn't what saves them. Jesus is what saves them. The belief in God is what saves them. Think of a miracle this way. Why is the Bible filled with miracles? Because we who believe in it need to be reminded of why we have faith. We need to be reminded that we're not the ones in charge. Why? Because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We know the Bible's true. But yet at points in our lives, we allow ourselves to be deceived. While we know God is all-powerful, Satan, who's the great deceiver, works good at slipping it into our minds that we're more powerful than God, that God should be serving us, that we know better. These examples aren't to show us how he should be working for us. It's how we should be working for him. To show us that he does do great things according to his will, not ours. It calls us to examine our own duplicity. Are we living a life that truly speaks that we have faith, that we believe in God, that we put Jesus Christ first, that we're a servant to him? When we look at our lives, Is that what they speak on the days other than Sunday? As soon as we leave that parking lot, do our lives yell out, "I believe in Christ"? If they don't, remember the phrase, actions speak louder than words. We're to spread the word of God to the ends of the earth. It's our lives that are to do that. It's not merely handing out a tract. It goes beyond that. It's not merely being able to say, "I attend every Sunday service. I attend every fellowship. I attend every Bible study. I read this. I read that." I'm not saying those aren't important. I'm saying it's more than just that. How did that reading affect your life? How did it let you out to change you? God knows each and every one of us more than we know ourselves. The Bible tells us He knew us in the womb. We can go beyond that. God's all-knowing. He knew us before we were ever even begun to be formed in the womb. Before the world as we know it. Was even spoken to existence. He knew each and every one of you. He knew each and every person outside this building. He knew them well enough to know the number of hairs on their head. But how well do we know Him? How well do we trust in Him? How much faith do we truly have in Him when we are praying? Are we praying for His will or ours? And do our actions speak to what we pray for? Let's look at the actions of the people who knew Dorcas. That wasn't the standard protocol to put somebody in the upstairs room after they had passed away. It wasn't standard for them not to prepare the body. In that area, in that culture, at that time, they would have had that body buried before sundown. And yet, they sent somebody. They sent two men out to bring him back so he could pray for her. No cars at the time. If we examine the distance between the two cities, it'd be about 10 miles, give or take. So that's two men walking there 10 miles. And then them getting their things together and coming back. Another 10 miles. A 20-mile walk. Not a 20-mile walk on a nice, smooth sidewalk where you got stores every so often where you can stop and get the drink. 20-mile walk. Dirt roads. Dirt. Sand. Not nice, smooth pavement. How many of us can say we've walked 20 miles in a day? How many of us can really say we walked 10 miles? Let alone 10 miles with the supplies you need to keep on going once you get to where you're going. It wasn't he went there, stayed, and went back. That last verse there says he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. In fact, the fact that it calls out Simon and a tanner is also very important to this verse. very important to this passage. Why is it so important to call out Simon was a tanner? Because you have a person who's working with dead animals considered unclean in that culture. That would be one of the lowest of the low positions. Want to know where he'd be living? The farthest outskirts of the town, because nobody wanted to be that close because it would smell. So you have the man who worked one miracle for somebody who was lame for 8 years, works another miracle for someone who has passed away. And where does he choose to go and stay? With the person who is the lowest of the low. Let's go back to the people there. Like I said, what they were doing was against the normal flow of the cultural routines. They had that much faith. Their actions spoke to their faith. Do our actions today speak to our faith? The Bible tells us he had faith the size of a mustard seed. He could move mountains. Here's the key. When you just have that much faith, mustard seed, very small, small seed. Just that little bit of faith means one thing. You have the faith that God will work miracles through you according to his will. It doesn't mean if you had that much faith, you can walk anywhere and go, I want my house about 1 foot more that way so I can make my driveway a little wider. You can walk up to your house and go, house, move! 1 foot to the left, and the house will get up and move. What it means is if you have that much faith, you won't be concerned with whether or not your house was a foot over, because your true concern is going to be in God's will. Serving God, living as a servant, a humble life. A true believer in faith. We'll learn to pray in faith for God's will to be done. The Bible's here to remind us miracles can be worked in our lives according to his will. And when we pray, we need to be reminded and remember to pray for his will. And when we want to ask ourselves, do we truly have faith? We need to ask ourselves, whose will are we praying for? Are we praying saying, Lord, show me the way, show me the path, show me the truth? Are we praying on our knees saying, God, you're the one in power. My trust is in you. Just guide me along the path. Or when we pray, are we saying, God, this is the path I'm walking. Make it your way. Make it your will. Is our prayer for God's will to be done? Or is our prayer for our will to be done? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, so often we allow ourselves to be deceived. So often we deceive ourselves by thinking it's your will we're trying to serve, when the truth of the matter is we're asking you to serve our will. Lord, we thank you for the blessing and miracle of your word. It's there to remind us of the truth, that it's your will, not ours, that is to be done. That when we come to know you, to believe in you, called to truly surrender to you. Lord, when we examine ourselves, when we truly look at what our values are, and we ask ourselves, do we have faith? Let our eyes be open to the truth of whether or not the faith lines up with your will or with ours. And we thank you that you give us fellowship with other believers, that you've made it so easy for us here in America to gather in your name, to be mentors to new believers, to be mentors to those who are just learning what it means to have a spiritual relationship with you, and to look to mentors who've been following a path with you longer than we have, who've experienced things similar to what we're going through, and can speak to what it means to truly follow your will and your way instead of ours. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.